Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. This is our daily editorial on Wednesday, the first day of March. Does that mean the weather's going to get better? Boy, I really, really hope so. We got some pretty interesting things to talk about. I want to say regarding, we're going to talk about Ukraine again on the weekend show, but I was up last night doing research on some of the comments that are coming in. A lot of people are saying that Ukraine is just on the verge of a very major defeat. Jimmy disagrees. We're going to talk about that this weekend. Jimmy, you want to make a comment on this?
Yeah, I don't think they're on the verge of defeat. I think they may gain a little ground in Bakhmut, this one area that they've been pouring literally thousands of troops with thousands of casualties and a heavy, heavy armor presence there. But the Ukrainian, as long as NATO continues to support and the United States continues to support Ukrainian forces, they'll have the resources to keep Russia from getting too far. So the problem is much more complex than many pundits have said, especially, unfortunately, in my view, on the right, because they're not looking objectively at the battlefield and the problems that the Russians are having.
Right.
I mean, the Ukrainians are suffering. There's no question. This is a terrible, terrible problem for them. They're losing a lot of troops, but they are not losing ground. And the Russians have been pushing for a long time for a major offensive here, and they have not gained much ground.
Yeah.
And they are having some very serious morale problems as they attempt to mobilize more and more troops. They're losing a lot.
Hey, Jimmy, you know, we've been talking about Ukraine on almost every daily editorial, and at your suggestion, I'm going to put this discussion off until the weekend radio show. There are some very major misconceptions about the balance of power in the Ukraine right now. We're going to get on that on the weekend show, per your suggestion. Jimmy, there's an organization in Wisconsin right now that have a deal where they're paying people to go out and vote. What's going on there, man?
Yeah, so the news talk radio station in Wisconsin, 1130 WISN, did a rather extensive report on an organization that is sending out text messages and emails, or at least text messages, to thousands of Wisconsinites and offering them money, $250 in order to get friends and family to vote.
Isn't that illegal?
Yes. In Wisconsin, it is directly illegal and directly against their, Wisconsin statute 12.11.
Yeah.
Here's how the statute reads. Any person who offers, gives, lends, or promises to give or lend anything of value to and for any elector or to any other person in order to induce an elector to go or refrain from going to the polls, vote or refrain from voting, vote or refrain from voting for or against a particular person, commits felony election bribery. Now, this organization called Wisconsin Takes Action has actually got Zoom training efforts and offering this money for people to go out and basically get others to vote. And that would be directly against that statute and against the law.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty interesting that something like that is starting out right now. I don't think it's going to have much traction because of everything that you are saying makes a lot of sense to me.
I just want to say this is actually the problem that we've been facing for the last probably 4 to 6 years. Well, actually for a long, long time.
Define that problem, Jimmy, if you would.
Where nonprofit organizations, under the guise of getting out the vote, actually offer some sort of token or money or resources in order to mobilize other people's to vote.
Yeah.
And of course, we know in the 2020 election that people were paid in Fulton County and Pennsylvania in order to Fulton County in Georgia and Allegheny County in Pennsylvania, as well as other places around the country, to collect votes and actually take pictures of them and drop them into these ballot boxes that were basically uncontrolled without any validation of ID.
Right.
So the problem, this is an example of the problem. It has had a significant impact on our elections in many, many years in the past. It's nothing new. People offered cigarettes and they drove people to, you know, there were many things, but this is out and out offering cash to collect ballots and having online training programs to do it. The question is, who's going to hold these people accountable when you lose the law enforcement and the judiciary system to leftist progressive Democrats that
actually
encourage
this? You simply cannot do that, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, they're offering MasterCard debit cards. They're offering, you know, gift cards of different types. And it's unbelievable, but we're seeing it. And of course, it's been underground quite a bit. But now they're so bold because they know no one's actually going back out to enforce these types of election laws.
Well, Jimmy, we got to get that straightened out. That's ridiculous. That's taking the voting system in the United States and making it even more dysfunctional. Jimmy, got some things going on right now with COVID that I came up to out of my research last night. I'd like you to explain it. You're the expert between the two of us on COVID. There's some really, really interesting things going on in terms of U.S. involvement in COVID and how COVID became the problem that it was. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so the FBI director in an interview with Brett Baer on Fox News yesterday admitted that the FBI are openly, you know, reported that the FBI had believed the lab leak theory was probable for a long time. Of course, this is completely contradictory to Anthony Fauci, to the CDC, and other people that have really gone out of their way to try to distort that.
Yeah.
The reason why it's come up and become so relevant right now is because the Department of Energy and their intelligence organizations, and again, as I mentioned before, I had some experience with that when I was a PNNL intern my graduate program.
You bet.
There was a leak of a report saying that they too believed that it was probably, or you know, that it with a low confidence level probably came from the Wuhan lab.
Yeah.
Now the reason why they got low confidence is because they've got information that would show it would be man manipulated.
Yeah.
And they know about where it came from because of the location, and of course, the only possible place that could have been developed was there. Now what I think is happening, Al, this is my contention. This kind of movement away from, you know, where they're actually openly admitting this stuff in the government is really an effort to kind of temper down the anger from the population when, in fact, a lot of this information comes out that the government knew about this from the beginning, and more importantly, that the U.S. government was involved in funding some of this research in that lab. Now, you and I, we've been talking about this for a long time. Rand Paul has really called Anthony Fauci on it. There's been a number of opportunities for people on the right to understand that. But the vast majority of people and the vast majority of the media and the government have called that conspiracy theory, and they've been attacking people for that. So a large portion of the population have actually believed that this, you know, the government's argument, and have been silenced from thinking, realizing that this was actually created from a lab and potentially funded by the U.S. government. Incredibly damaging information over time if the public hears it straight.
Yeah.
So I think they're slowly leaking it out. And I think that's the same with some of the information that's coming out on the vaccines and the damage for the vaccines.
Well, I think you're 100% right, Jimmy. You know, I made a comment on the blog three days ago about Fauci. I said, you know, you guys out there on the blog, you're going to be hearing a lot more about Fauci. He's a lot more involved in this thing than meets the eye. And I think it's kind of interesting that this story is coming out right now, because Fauci really is driving that wagon, in my opinion. There's no question whatsoever about that one. It's amazing to me why the U.S. government didn't just come out at the very beginning and say, hey, look, we can make the situation better. We're going to get a little bit involved in it, and let's see what happens. Instead, they tried to pull a wool over the Americans' eyes and people around the world about their eyes. Why shouldn't they be involved in it from a resource standpoint? No reason, Jimmy.
Well, I will tell you, the U.S. government, the very small number of leaders that supported the president at the time of this, and the president of the United States, Donald Trump, came out and publicly said he's seen the intelligence that would indicate it came from a lab.
Yeah.
This information was there, but the media, the DNC, the deep state actors and operatives that really wanted to ultimately undermine that administration in order to retain their power, as they feared the basically uncovering of this entire scandal. They doubled down, tripled down. And oh, by the way, Al, they're willing to actually do things that hurt people and kill people. So how far are they willing to go?
Why would they do that? Why would the leaders of our country stoop to the level of actually hurting American citizens, Jim? I don't get it.
To cover their behinds. And here's what's happening.
How are they
this
covering
is why
their
I know. This is where information is, why I believe. I shouldn't say I know, but this is why I believe it's happening.
Yeah.
There was so much influence from pharmaceutical industries on the evaluations of this, this effort to build this, Operation Warp Speed. They knew they could actually, they'd been doing research on mRNA technology for a while. Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins, the former NIH director, Francis Collins, they actually said publicly in 2019, we need a major problem to force mRNA technology out on the population in order to ensure that we can get the right type of testing, because it takes forever to go through a 7 to 9 year process to validate a vaccine. This was a perfect opportunity. I don't know if, in fact, they were doing it on purpose from the beginning. I would say it probably was some sort of a leak. I'm not sure. If it wasn't, it was definitely Chinese coordinated with some of these folks and the pharmaceutical companies. And what they did after that was shove these vaccinations down people's throat, focused more on the vaccinations than they did on therapeutics. When the therapeutics would have been much more efficient, wouldn't have shut down our economy, would not have changed the outcome probably the 2020 election. There's a lot of things that went on here that people suffered for and died. And when you look at the new data, Steve Kirsch, who's been reporting on this, a former leftist, well-respected journalist, he's been reporting on this for a long time. He just came out with Medicare data. Somebody slipped him Medicare data that had on elderly and vaccinated people that the CDC has known about, that shows that in fact you are more likely to die after the vaccination than before the vaccination. It's
Jimmy,
reduced.
Hang on, I want you to elaborate on that. I live in a place where the average age is probably, I don't even know what it is, somewhere about 75. So you're telling me the people who live in here, the Medicare personnel have proven that they are more likely to have a fatal reaction to the jabs and the rest of it than other people. Is that right?
This is according to Steve Kirsch's reporting, his newsletter, and he's provided this data. And actually provided the access to the Medicare database that somebody passed to him. There were three specific points that he identifies in his newsletter about the Medicare data that has been available to CDC but has not been available to the public. He was given this through a third party. Somebody basically leaked this information to him. But here are the three points. Vaccines are making it more likely that the elderly will die prematurely, not less likely.
And oh, that's based great. On the data. I happen to be elderly. I'm just a little bit angry about that, Jim.
The risk of death remains elevated for an unknown period of time after you get the shot. And it looks like for the first year, you've got a higher risk of dying, and then after that, it goes down.
Oh, good.
The CDC lied to the American people about the safety of the vaccines. Okay. They had access to the Medicaid data, and they kept hiding it and said nothing. And he goes into an extensive review of the data, offers the spreadsheet from the Medicare data to people to click on and research, and send it out to other people to look at, to validate or to undermine, and says, if you can find problems with it, please let us know. But the reality is that this information has been available for the government. The government, the CDC, has been pushing the vaccinations. If they had this available data, they knew the possible negative outcomes for it were not better than the benefits, and they've been hiding that, which goes right back to my point that they are willing to do things to protect themselves politically and for power and to cover their own behinds than take care of the American people.
Jim, let me ask you a question. Let's talk about the level of credibility of this information. I mean, is this just one of those wild conspiracy theories, or are the authors of this particular study really credible people? And if so, how did you determine that?
So it's not the study. It's not a study. It's the actual raw data from Medicare on people with the vaccinations and how often they died.
Okay.
So there will be research. The problem is people have not had this data available for a long time because the government has kept it controlled. So there's a possibility, and I'll always, counter this. Not all information is 100%, right? And this will not be 100%. We just don't know all of the information. But he provides this reporter, Steve Kirsch, who is not an outlandish, crazy guy out on extremist. He's very much against what the government has done with COVID because of the data and the information he's gone through, along with people like Alex Berenson, Dr. Malone, the cardiologist out of Texas, formerly of Baylor. I can't remember his name. There are a lot of doctors that have been warning people of this type of problem, but the data has been held by the government, and that shows a contempt of the people and that they're willing to do anything to not embarrass themselves, including allow people to die.
That's pretty interesting, Jim. I wonder why. I mean, I just can't believe that this hasn't been on the national news.
I'll tell you, he released it, I think, just earlier today. He has the links to the Excel spreadsheets from the Medicare data, so people will be able to validate it. We'll know fairly rapidly if, in fact, there's more truth to this, or if there's some, there is the possibility. I listen to Stu Peters sometimes, and he talks about, there's what was he arguing for a while, that they were putting cobra venom into the water, that kind of crap. That stuff is ridiculous. This is actually people that are opening up the books to the government, allowing people to research it, and then questioning, and then asking people to analyze and look at it. Yeah. So that's what is really critically important, is transparency, opening the books, and prove to me that they are doing the right thing with the data that they have and not hiding data. If you're hiding data, then you're trying to cover something up. And that's what the problem is here.
I would agree with that in principle. There's no question about that. I want to go into this a little bit farther on the weekend show. That is probably the most important piece of news that I have so heard so far this week. Jimmy, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, so, I want trust that there are enough good people in government and still believe in this nation and in our Constitution that we will overcome these problems. And I have hope, in fact, that we will. But we have a large number of people that are being intimidated by the system, that are afraid to speak out publicly because they fear for their jobs, they fear for their future, and they fear for the backlash from these agencies, and including the Department of Justice and the FBI. Where they're attacking people and will take them to court to try to justify positions that, are, in my view, are unjustifiable from a government perspective.
Right.
The government is here to protect Americans, not to
they don't grant us our rights. Our rights are natural. They're here to protect those rights. And what we're seeing is a complete inversion of that thought process, where the government is going to only let us know for whatever justification they can come up with, national security interests, blah, 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 blah. You know, they'll do anything they can to protect their power. And that's the problem when the government gets too big and they stop losing focus of what their purpose is. And I hope and pray that there's enough people out there that are willing to question and to put forward and force transparency to see if this type of information is accurate. And if it is, people should actually be held seriously accountable for it, including Fauci and Francis Collins and anybody that was involved in funding the research for this.
You bet. Jimmy, I want to cover this topic in the future. I don't want to get to, we've got a lot of very, very intelligent people living where I live now. I don't want to be accused ever of pushing conspiracy theory, which I firmly do not believe in. So let's cover this topic again in the near future from perhaps a little different slant.
Right. And hey, what I'm going to do, Al, is I'm going to forward you the Substack article from Steve Kirsch.
Right.
And so you can post that so people can look at this article, make their own decisions, and actually download the Excel spreadsheet with the data for 114,000 records.
Consider it done, Jimmy. I'll get it up this afternoon.
You bet. All right, Al.
Okay, thanks, Jim.